This particular psalm was the favorite of one of, I think, one of the most important people of history, at least of the past 500 years, that being Martin Luther. Psalm 46 inspired Martin Luther to write a hymn that has stood the test of time. And in fact, we sang it this morning, did we not? That great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Now, little is known when or how it came about that Martin Luther wrote this particular Reformation hymn. One biographer claims that it was in the year of his deepest depression. And if so, that means he probably wrote it sometime during the 1520s. Let me explain. Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic monk. He was a Roman Catholic monk who, at some point between 1514 and 1518, while he was in his early 30s, he became aware of the meaning of the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and the cross alone. Luther, who once feared an all-terrible God, now discovered him to be merciful. That was his view of God. He feared him greatly. And then he became aware of God being a very merciful God. Now, how did this come about? Well, it came about through Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And that particular verse cleared it all up for Martin Luther. He was reading through Romans one day when his eyes fell upon that particular verse. And there he discovered, you know, Paul's great teaching that the just shall live by faith. And what is faith? Well, said Luther, it's a divine work in us which changes us and causes us to be born anew from God. Faith, a gift of the Holy Spirit, frees us from sin and guilt and gives us confidence in God's grace. Luther wrote, "Such confidence and such knowledge makes a man joyous, gay, bold, and merry toward God and all creatures." Of course, Martin Luther used that word "gay" as it was intended to be used years ago and has been robbed today. Well, before long, Martin Luther and the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy were at odds with one another. And I'm going to let Chuck Swindoll tell us the rest of the story as to what took place. In 1520, after more than 3 years of conflict with the church in Rome, the Pope warned Luther in a public letter that he would be excommunicated if he did not recant his teachings that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Luther responded by burning the letter publicly and publishing a pamphlet titled "Why the Pope and His Recent Book Are Burned and the Assertions Concerning All Articles." In 1521, Pope Leo X issued a letter announcing his excommunication, which prompted the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V to issue orders of arrest. Charles declared, "We want him apprehended and punished as an infamous heretic as he deserves." And then he placed a generous price on his head. Naturally, this made Luther a prime target for any sovereign wanting favors from the Pope and the powerful King Charles V. Consequently, nearly every king and petty ruler in the world made Luther's capture a priority. On his way home from the official announcement by Charles V, Luther was stopped by a masked horseman and taken to a castle in central Germany. Fortunately, he had not fallen into the hands of enemies, but was taken into the protection of Frederick III, the only man powerful enough to oppose Charles V. Luther spent the next year in the castle of Wartburg, a walled fortress perched on a 1,200-foot precipice. From here, Luther translated the Greek New Testament into German and laid the foundation for the Protestant Reformation. It may be from here that Luther found solace in Psalm 46. Sitting in a mighty castle, protected by a rugged terrain, in a high position with only a drawbridge for access, guarded by one of the most powerful men in the world, Luther found comfort only in his God. With virtually the whole world against him, He had the truth of the gospel on his side, and that gave him confidence. He rested in the assurance of Psalm 46 and penned the words to an anthem praising the power of God. And then in 1853, Frederick H. Hedge translated Luther's German lyrics into the English lines we know so very well. And of course, we sang that great hymn this morning, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." Now let's take a closer look at this great psalm, which was Luther's favorite and the inspiration behind the writing of what many have called the battle hymn of the Reformation. Follow along as I read the 11 verses of Psalm 46. Notice what it says. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." What a great psalm this is. What a wonderful psalm. No wonder Martin Luther turned to it for comfort. I read that whenever the stress and troubles of life would overtake him, Martin Luther would turn to his friend and co-worker, Philip Melanchthon, and say, "Come, Philip, let's sing the 46th Psalm." And then together they would lift their voices in praise to God. Luther wrote, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." He's right, you know. The emphasis in this psalm is that of the presence of God with his people, and the difference it makes when we trust him in the upheavals and troubles of life. This psalm teaches us that God himself is our center of safety. It is not our strength, but his that shields us from the whirling winds of trouble. Therefore, when trouble strikes, seek shelter in God. That's the message of Psalm 46. When trouble strikes, seek shelter in God. It's a psalm that tells you what to do when trouble strikes your life. Now, before we take a closer look at Psalm 46, a couple of things by way of background information. First, notice its title. We see something new that we've not seen in previous superscriptions up until this point. It states, notice with me, "For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song." Now, what does this phrase mean, "set to Alamoth"? We've never seen this in our look thus far in these various psalms. Well, since this word is derived from a Hebrew word that means maiden or young woman, some suggest it refers to women's soprano voices, or at least a choir of women. And the Old Testament does contain several references to all women choirs. We have several references, such as Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 and 21, where Miriam led the women in singing and tambourine playing and dancing after a great victory that God brought about. But at the same time, we read an interesting phrase This in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 20, with harps tuned to Alamoth. With harps tuned to Alamoth, with the marginal reading of harps of maiden-like tone. So set to Alamoth could mean either that this psalm was played on soprano-like or high-pitched instruments, or sung by women's soprano voices. You take your pick. We really don't know. Now, the second thing I want you to see by way of background is that it seems likely that the occasion for this psalm was a military attack against the city of Jerusalem that threatened the very existence of the Jewish nation. To the people living in Jerusalem at that time, it seemed like their whole world was about to come crashing in. But as the author reveals, he and his fellow citizens were greatly comforted by the fact that God was in their midst at that time, protecting them and promising that he would bring an end to this war and all wars. We see that here in this psalm. Now, having said that, many Bible teachers believe Psalm 46 was written by King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah to commemorate God's deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians. According to 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19, the Assyrian king named Sennacherib thought he had Hezekiah caught in Jerusalem like a bird in a cage. I want you to turn there, if you would, please. Keep your finger here in Psalm 46 and turn back to 2 Kings chapter 18. And I want us to look at a couple of verses that set the scene for us. 2 Kings chapter 18. And begin with me at verse 28. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 28. Then Rabshakeh, that's the king's spokesman, his general, stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, the Lord will deliver us." Yes, Hezekiah and his people were facing trouble with a capital T. So what did Hezekiah do? Instead of panicking, he sought shelter in God. That is, he turned to God in faith, and he prayed, asking God for help. And God, in turn, answered him through the prophet Isaiah, and the enemy was defeated. In one night, an angel killed 185,000 enemy soldiers. Now, some of you are thinking, well, good for Hezekiah. Great. But you know something? I don't have any trouble. Life is treating me good right now. Well, if that is the case, then great. I'm happy for you. I'm thankful for the trouble-free life that you are experiencing at the moment. Notice I said at the moment. You see, there's no way a human being living in a troubled world and in troublesome times as we do can avoid a completely trouble-free life. It's impossible. One of life's realities is that you and I will face times of trouble. I say this based upon the teaching of Scripture. For example, we read of one of Job's friends saying in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, "For man is born for trouble." That's what he says. "For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." Also, if you recall from our study of Psalm 90 back at the beginning of January, Moses declared, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, that their pride is but labor and sorrow. Boy, that's not real encouraging, is it? That's what you can expect. 70 years, 80 years, days filled with labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. That's life. And finally, remember in Matthew 6:34, Jesus instructs us not to worry about tomorrow. Remember, he said that. Why? Because he said, for tomorrow will care for itself. And then, of course, he added, each day has enough trouble of its own. Enough trouble of its own. So Jesus said we can expect trouble in life. No one is exempt from it. You can be a good person and yet still find yourself in trouble. It happens all the time. For example, Joseph was a good person, was he not? He really was. Yet he was thrown into a pit and eventually sold into slavery by his own jealous brothers. Later, of course, he went to prison for something that he did not do. Another good person that faced trouble, the worst kind, was Job. We know his story. We're all familiar with that. We're told that Job was an upright man who loved God, yet he experienced serious trouble when he lost all of his possessions, when he lost his children, when he eventually lost his health. Did he do anything wrong? Not that I'm aware of. It happened. Others could be mentioned, like Daniel, who was thrown into a lion's den just for praying. John the Baptist, who was beheaded for speaking the truth. I think of Paul and Silas, who were beaten in prison for preaching the gospel. And last but not least, Jesus Christ, who was crucified in spite of the fact that he was sinless. Yes, as these examples from the Bible prove, trouble is one indisputable reality of life. And it comes to us in many, many different ways. Life throws at us health-related troubles, money troubles, marriage troubles, family troubles, interpersonal relationship troubles, work-related troubles, and the list goes on and on and on. So let me ask you, how do you respond when trouble hits you, when trouble strikes your life? How do you respond? What do? Do you run? Sometimes you want to run. You want to escape it. Do you fight? Do you blame? Do you get fearful? Well, maybe you grab the bottle, start drinking. Maybe you use drugs and you escape that way. Do you immerse yourself in busyness? Do you get angry? Do you get depressed? Do you become anxious? Well, in the time that remains, I want us to take a closer look at Psalm 46, because it's a psalm that tells you what to do when trouble strikes your life. And that is, when trouble strikes, what? Seek shelter in God. That's the message right there. It says it all right there. When trouble strikes, seek shelter in God. Now, why? Why should we do that? Well, the author, again, probably Hezekiah, offers three reasons. Let's look at these reasons, beginning with the first one. When trouble strikes, seek shelter in God, because in Him you have a refuge to shield you. You have a refuge to shield you. Now, there was no doubt to Hezekiah that he and his people were in serious trouble. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 3, he sends this message to the prophet Isaiah. This is what he said. This day is a day of distress, rebuke, and rejection. For children have come to birth, and there's no strength to deliver. That's the message that he sent to the prophet. That word distress that he used in 2 Kings 19 is the same word found here in verse 1, which is translated trouble. It means literally in a tight place, a tight spot. We would say today between a rock and a hard place, right? That's what we would say. So what kind of tight place did Hezekiah find himself? One that left him with the feeling that his world had suddenly turned upside down. Notice his use of poetic language in verses 2 and 3. Look at verse 2. Though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Now to the Jews, the mountains were the most stable things on planet earth. So for a mountain to slip into the sea would herald the end of the world. Now how could this happen? How could this ever happen that a mountain would slip into the sea? Only under the most extreme and frightening circumstances, such as an earthquake or a landslide or a volcanic eruption. So the point of verse 2 is that sometimes trouble comes to people like an earthquake. And we're familiar with that, right? I mean, we've had hundreds of them this year. Hundreds. In fact, I read last night, you probably don't want to hear this, but scientists are saying because of that we can potentially have a big one that's going to hit here in Oklahoma. I'm serious. That's what that article said. Because all this going on, they said there's a chance that there may be a big one above 6-0 that will hit sometime. We'll see what happens. So the point of verse 2 again is that sometimes trouble comes to people like an earthquake, like a landslide, or volcanic eruption. That is without any warning, right? I mean, you don't know an earthquake's going to hit, do you? All of a sudden, it's just, there you go. You know, I don't know how many times I've been sitting there in my office right next door there in the Thompson house, and the house starts shaking. And all you have felt it too. I know you have. And other times I don't, and other people do, but it's happening. They said hundreds have happened already since the first of the year here in Oklahoma. So without warning, with no way of resisting, what do you do in the middle of an earthquake? There's nothing you can do. Get outside, probably, especially if you're in a big house or a big building and it could collapse, you know. And then, of course, you know, that's the thought here, that when these things come to you without warning, what's the result? Panic. Fear sets in. It can be a very, very frightful thing, especially those who live out in California and they've been through those big ones, right? You know, we actually, when we lived in Northern California, when we first married, I was in the Navy, we had an earthquake, and it took place on a Sunday night. It was my first earthquake that I ever remember. And Diane had already fallen asleep, and I was just kind of, you know, dozing off, and all of a sudden I could hear it come rolling in across Mare Island. You could hear it. It comes rolling in. And we had this massive dresser in front of the bed. It took several men to carry it upstairs. That thing was just going like this. And I jumped up, and Diane woke up, and I went and looked out the window, and I see lights going on all over the place. Everybody's looking out the window like, you know, that's going to solve it right there. But it can be very fearful, these things. So panic and fear can set in. Now notice he uses a second poetic expression in verse 3. Though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. So Hezekiah added the picture of a storm-tossed sea, this possibly referring to a tidal wave or hurricane possibly. So what kind of trouble was Hezekiah facing? One that came with the finality of an earthquake. One that came with the force and fury of a hurricane. In other words, what Hezekiah is presenting here is a worst-case scenario. That's what he's presenting here. His words paint a picture of a person who felt that his world was literally falling apart. That's what he was feeling at this point. So what did Hezekiah do? Well, a crisis does not make a person. It reveals what a person is made of. Because in a crisis, you turn to what you trust. An alcoholic turns to what? The bottle. Addicts turn to their needles or drugs. But hopefully we as believers in God turn to the Lord. So where did Hezekiah turn when faced with troubles of such magnitude? We're told in 2 Kings chapter 19, upon hearing that the Assyrians wanted to overthrow him and take possession of Jerusalem and the people and his land, Hezekiah immediately did several things. First, according to verse 1, we are told he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of the Lord. That's the very first thing that he did. So he sought the Lord immediately. That's what he did. And in doing so, he repented. He's crying out to God. He's repenting. And second, according to verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. He prayed before the Lord. That is, he gave his trouble over to the Lord. So Hezekiah turned to the only one who could help him at that time, and that was God. And in so doing, Hezekiah learned the most valuable lesson that he states for us in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 46. Look at it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Let's break this down. First, he says, God is our. You know, the use of the word our means that God makes himself readily accessible. Readily accessible to his people in times of trouble, to those who love him, to those who seek his face. Second, Hezekiah goes on to say, God is our what? Refuge and strength. The word refuge comes from a verb meaning to flee, to take shelter in. It denotes a place to which one would flee in a time of danger. Back then, it would be a high wall, it would be a high tower, a fort or fortress. The idea is that God wants us to run to him for protection in times of trouble. That's what's being conveyed here. The word strength implies that we can rely on his might when we feel weak and defenseless. So the idea here is that those who seek shelter in God find him to be thoroughly adequate. Thoroughly adequate in times of trouble. He's the source of strength and protection to those who are weak and defenseless. And that's how we are when we go through times of trouble. And then third, Hezekiah tells us God is a very present help in trouble. A very present help. What this means is that God is continually available in times of trouble. Continually available. Hezekiah saw God to be ready to give continuous aid and assistance to those who love him. So because of these three marvelous realities about God, that he is readily accessible, that he is thoroughly adequate, that he is continually available, according to Hezekiah, the end result should be we will not fear. We will not fear. Yes, God is calling us today to not live in fear when trouble hits us, because he promises to be our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That is, we are not to fear even if it seems like our world is falling apart. So what should be your first response when trouble strikes? Be like Hezekiah and seek shelter in God, because in God you have a refuge to shield you. You have a refuge to shield you. Let me suggest something here. Sometime in the near future, take your concordance and look up this word refuge as it's used in the book of Psalms only. And read those verses. You're going to find about 40. That's what I found. 40 of them. Read through those. Your heart will be greatly encouraged and uplifted to see God in that way. And one more thing. I want to remind you that the New Testament application of this Old Testament passage, of course, is found in the person of Jesus Christ. We know this based upon the fact that the Lord Jesus invites us to come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and he, we are told, will give us rest. He makes this promise, of course, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. So what this means then is that our refuge today in times of trouble is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who opens his arms to us and says, come to me with all of your burdens. You know, give to me all of that's on you right now. Give me your troubles, and I promise that I will be all that you need as you go through this time. So when trouble strikes, say like Hezekiah, I will not fear, because I have a refuge to shield me. Let's move on. We learn secondly from Psalm 46 that when trouble strikes, seek shelter in God, because in Him you have a river to strengthen you. You have a river to strengthen you. Now look at a map of the ancient world, which show us that the major cities back then were located close to water. The great cities of Egypt depended on the Nile River, right? Nineveh was on the Tigris River. Babylon was situated on the Euphrates River. And Rome was built close to the Tiber River. All these cities needed water close at hand, especially during a siege. But there is an exception. Jerusalem is one of the few ancient cities not built on a river, close by a river. And when Sennacherib attacked Jerusalem, he was sure that their lack of water would ultimately drive them to surrender, that they wouldn't last long at all. But unknown to the enemy, wise King Hezekiah had built an underground water system some 1,777 feet, which supplied Jerusalem with all the water that she needed during times such as this. But as wonderful as this was, Hezekiah and his people did not depend entirely on this man-made river. They had the spiritual resources of the Lord Himself to strengthen them. We see this in verses 4 and 5. Look at this in Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. You know, it's interesting that Hezekiah brings up a river that makes glad when just a moment ago, what is he talking about? He's talking about a time of trouble. Of course, the two can be fitted together when you begin to comprehend that God is the one who sends a river of blessing to His people, even in the midst of trouble. Now, how is this possible, you ask? Well, the river that Hezekiah describes here is a fabulous picture of the activity of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people. I say this based upon something that our Lord Jesus Christ taught Himself in the Gospel of John in chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. In this passage, we're told this. You can listen to or you can turn to if you want. John 7, beginning in verse 37. Now, on that day, the last day of the feast, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out. Okay, this is the very last day now of the Feast of Tabernacles. He says this, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow," what? "Rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit. So John tells us immediately what this means. So there's no question about it. The picture of a river here in Psalm 46, according to the interpretation of the New Testament, is a picture of the activity of the Spirit of God. What this means then is that when trouble comes into your life, there's a glorious river that is nothing less than one that flows from the very throne of God to your heart at that time. And the lovely thing about this river is that it brings refreshment wherever it flows, because it's a river, as we're told here, that makes glad the people of God. Now, how does it do that, you ask? Well, in this way. The Spirit of God, using the Word of God, makes glad the people of God. In other words, when you are going through trouble, God will always be speaking to you through His Word and applying His Word to your heart through the Holy Spirit's illuminating power. That's how the river of God makes glad the people of God. Let me say here that this is why it is critical for you not to forsake the Word of God when going through times of trouble. And so often that's exactly what we do. We stop reading the Bible. We start panicking. We start fearing. In fact, it's more important than ever that you are in the Word of God when dealing with life's troubles, because through the Spirit, What happens is that you receive the spiritual power to face the trouble that you are facing at that particular time in your life. Now look at verses 6 and 7. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I think what Hezekiah is doing here in these two verses is reminding us of the awesome power of God in that when nations lifted themselves in opposition to God and his people in the past, what happened? The Lord came to their defense and he overthrew them. Therefore, the God who preserved his people in the past, Hezekiah is suggesting to us, will continue to protect his people today as they go through times of trouble. So what should be your second response when trouble strikes your life? Be like Hezekiah and seek shelter in God, because in him you have a river to strengthen you. I don't know what you know of Hudson Taylor. He was used mightily of God. He was the founder of the China Inland Mission, so he was really the pioneer that went into China and introduced the gospel to the Chinese people back in the 1800s. And one biography of Hudson Taylor records an incident that revealed his dependence, if you will, upon this river of God that we've been talking about. Taylor and one of his associates were opening the day's mail, and each piece that they opened told of horrible news that was happening all around China. Uprisings threatened the safety of his workers, and everything seemed to be going wrong at that time. And so, thinking that Hudson Taylor would want to be alone during such a down time, his associate decided to leave, and as he did, though, he heard a sound that drew him back to the room. Hudson Taylor was whistling his favorite hymn. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Being somewhat puzzled by this in light of the bad news received, the associate asked him, he said, how can you whistle like this when your friends are in such grave danger? And Hudson Taylor responded this way, quote, would you have me anxious and troubled? That would not help them and would certainly incapacitate me for my work. I have just to roll the burden on the Lord. Understand here that Hudson Taylor drank deeply of God's hidden spiritual river, and that gave him peace in the hour of trouble. May we do the same, my friends. So when trouble comes, it's important that we say, I will not faint. Why? Because I have a river to strengthen me. Well, there's one more truth to see from Psalm 46. It's found in verses 8 through 11. And it is, when trouble strikes, seek shelter in God, because in him you have a revelation to sustain you. You have a revelation to sustain you. Look at verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. So in these two verses, Hezekiah continues to encourage his readers to think with him about the Lord's past deliverances of his people. He's essentially saying here, come see your trouble in the light of what God has done in the past. Put it against the backdrop of God's mighty works. Consider his omnipotent hand that has been at work in the affairs of men. And what we need to learn from this is that one of the first things we are to do when trouble hits us is to stop. Stop and think about how God has delivered us from past troubles. Why is this important? Because it's going to lead what follows in verse 10. Look at this important verse. Knows who's speaking. It's not Hezekiah now. It's the Lord. And notice what he says. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, when God says cease striving, he's telling us literally to relax. Okay? rest in me. What does this mean? First of all, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. God is not talking about, you know, physical stillness here. He's not telling us that when trouble hits that we are to shut down and do nothing. That's not what it means. Instead, what God is talking about here is a heart stillness. In other words, to cease striving means resisting the natural inclination to take your trouble by the horns and what do? Try to fix it yourself. That's the tendency that we have, right? Try to fix it or fight it, you know? Get rid of it. Now notice God also says in verse 10, cease striving and what? No. In other words, by resting in the Lord, by relaxing, we learn, we begin to understand, we begin to know. And what is it that we come to know? It is know that I am what? God. You know, this is so important to grasp. God does not say to us when we go through troubles, you know, cease striving and know all the details, or cease striving and know the reasons why you're in the midst of your trouble. No, when going through times of trouble, God does not promise necessarily answers that we're looking for. What does He promise? He promises Himself. That's what He promises. That is, when we cease striving, we receive the greatest revelation of which God wants us to see, and that revelation is this: God is God. That's the revelation. God is God. Why is this so important? Because knowing that God is God means that I don't have to fret when going through troubles, because God is in absolute control of everything that I am going through. So when trouble comes, it's important that we say, I will not fret because I have a revelation to sustain me. Now notice that Hezekiah finishes out in verse 11, and we're going to bring this to a close now, by repeating what he said in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. You know, I believe that Hezekiah was led of the Holy Spirit to finish this psalm with a reference to the God of Jacob. You see, if he wrote the God of Abraham is our stronghold, or, you know, the God of Isaac is our stronghold, we might go away discouraged because, you know, those men were men of faith. They were men of faith. But by saying the God of Jacob, we're reminded of something important about God. Remember what Jacob was like before God took a hold of his life? He was a schemer. He tried to run his own life. Just like us, right? We like to run our own life. So by saying the God of Jacob, we are reminded that our God is a God of sinners, the God of failures, the God of Larry Harris, you know? So to wrap this up, we have seen this morning that Psalm 46 instructs us with the wonderful truth that when trouble strikes, we are to seek shelter in God. Why? Because in Him we have a refuge to shield us. We have a river to strengthen us. We have a revelation to sustain us. So the next time trouble strikes, the next time trouble comes knocking at your door, you respond by saying to yourself, I will not fear. I will not fear, because in God I have a refuge to shield me. I will not faint, because in God I have a river to strengthen me. And I will not fret, because in God I have a revelation to sustain me. Let's close in prayer. Father, again, we are reminded this morning through this beautiful psalm just how much you care for us, Lord. All of us can enter in to this psalm, Lord. Maybe not in the same way that in relationship to what Hezekiah was going through. We don't know what it's like to have an enemy come upon our land and try to, you know, take away our beloved city. We have not experienced that yet here in our country, Lord. But nevertheless, we still can identify with just the fear of and concern of trouble, because we deal with that on a constant basis. And so, Father, I'm just grateful this morning that we have this psalm that you want to use to wrap around our hearts and our minds and to remind us of who you are. You are God. And Lord, you have everything under control. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us not to, you know, fear and faint and fret when times of trouble hits, Lord. I pray instead that we would run to you and see you as a refuge and a river and a revelation, Lord, all wrapped up in one, Father. And so, again, thank you for the beauty of your word and how you desire to use it to minister to where we are today in our lives. So help us, Lord. I pray for any here who are in the midst of trouble, God, that they have found comfort, they have found strength, renewal, Lord, in their relationship with you. And may they go out from here this morning, strengthened, Lord, to trust you, to cease striving and just to give it over to you. And I pray that you'll guide and lead them, Lord, throughout it. And may they come out on the other side victorious and stronger because of what you've taken them through. So I thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.